Wilson, Spencer German Afternoon Drive. What an eventful day. We got game three currently underway at Progressive Field. And the news of the day, Cleveland Browns heading to Brook Park. I think I actually have uncovered something. Because, you know, like we got people like from Euclid calling in being like, I'm never supporting the Brook Park Browns. And people from like the Burbs. And I'm like, you're not even, you don't even live downtown. And I think it's that people don't realize where Brook Park is. I think, okay, if you said I'm moving, the Browns are moving to Brecksville, people get it. You said the Browns are moving to East Cleveland. I think we get it.
Do we need to say it's near the airport? Would that help people understand?
I don't even know. No, I don't know.
People don't know where the airport is?
No, like, it's so funny because my grandpa and I have had this conversation. My grandpa, for the first 55 years of his life, lived in Lodi. And for the first 20 years, he never really left Lodi. And I think there's so many of... I guarantee you, if you said, point me Brook Park on a map... I don't know how many people are really going to nail it.
People think it's like out near Ashland or something like that.
Yeah,
I mean, granted, like, that would be cool. They could do some sort of deal with Grandpa's Cheese Bar. Well,
because people
keep
like, I guess they're going to move to Columbus. No, it's Brook Park, dude. It's 20 minutes from here. You're going to be okay. This is a safe place.
I can tell you right now, I left Berea to come do this show with you, Nick, today. It took me about 17 minutes to get in my car, drive down here, and park, and walk into the station and be on here for the show. So... there you go. 17 extra minutes for people, and depending on where you're coming from, it's really not that big of a deal.
So I'm talking about the Berea Brook Park Cleveland Browns. And to do so, our next guest guys, seriously, give this dude the credit. If you've not read his work on 92.3thefan.com, this is a story 8 years in the making. And Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Shabin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, has been on this story for 8 years diligently. Not just on top of the story, ahead of the story for 8 years. And Daryl, congratulations. I cannot imagine what it feels like to finally be able to print and send however you publish
this today.
They still
print these things?
Worst kept secret ever, right? I mean, my goodness. It's been a long time coming, though. Eight long years for the Browns to figure out what they want to do come 2029. And, congratulations to the mayor of the city of Cleveland. That's who deserves the big congratulations. Made it all about himself today and upstaged game three of the American League Championship Series just so he could stick it to the Browns and not allow them to make their own announcement. So good job by Mayor Bibb.
Well, and he did so after getting the public funding that the Browns had made sure to keep quiet on things so that
yes.
The city of Cleveland could get that funding.
Yes.
He's going to do well in Washington if he ever makes it out of Cleveland.
Well... I was about to say something, and I'm just going to bite my tongue there. I'm just going to leave it be. Going to leave the mayor alone. But, yeah, I mean, look, for all the pearl clutching that's going on amongst some of the politicians right now over this, look, it's staying within the county. It is potentially a $3.8 billion construction project that is going to be adjacent to a $3 billion airport reconstruction project. The riverfront's getting redone for $3.5 billion. The lakefront is still getting redeveloped, and that's probably going to be in the billions of dollars to do that. You know, you're talking within Cuyahoga County, Nick, in the next 8 to 10 years, upwards of $12 billion. That is with a B. Dollars worth of major construction projects. And obviously, this complex that the Browns are now going to pursue in Brook Park is a big part of that. But, you know, that means people are working. That means jobs. It means tax revenues and things like that. So, and it's literally a stone's throw from the airport across the railroad tracks from the city of Cleveland. It's not like they went down to Summit County to build the stadium in Akron. It's not like they went out to Medina County or Lorain or any of the... It's right there across from Cleveland Hopkins International Airport. And the infrastructure costs to do this complex are, you know, a lot cheaper than what they plan to do on the lakefront to make it more accessible.
Daryl, we read your piece, obviously, and at the end of it, you sort of mentioned Mayor Bibb had a couple, I guess we can call them like stipulations in terms of the Haslams continuing to help small businesses that are impacted by this, and also help develop the lakefront and obviously pay to have the stadium, the current stadium torn down. How much do you think the Haslams are going to continue to invest in downtown Cleveland, despite the fact that they're taking the Browns elsewhere?
Well, I mean, they're going to certainly be supportive of the lakefront redevelopment projects that are in the works and underway. They, you know, were one of the driving forces to get the Landbridge project moving forward to connect Mall C to the lakefront. Well, that's still going to happen even if the stadium, you know, when the stadium goes away. And that is something that downtown needs. You know, the reconfiguration of Route 2, getting those federal dollars that, you know, obviously the Haslam's very supportive of that. So, you know, this isn't as, you know, there's no animosity here, at least from that the Haslam standpoint. They're making a strategic business decision in a location that they feel better suits their vision for the organization going forward. We all know the challenges that Lakefront Stadium has, just from its current condition to just getting to the thing. I mean, it's isolated basically on an island. You can't drive a car up to it unless you get there, you know, 3-4 hours before kickoff because they close it down. You know, so there's just so many challenges with that lakefront. And, you know, the mayor last month when team representatives sat down with Mayor Bibb to tell them their desire to pursue the Brook Park project, he said, well, hey, you know, I'm working on getting Burke Lakefront Airport closed. Can we go ahead and have a conversation about maybe we patch the existing stadium so that it'll be functional for you? And then let's really focus on doing a dome and a development on the Burke site. And the Browns said, okay, well, we already considered the Burke site and ruled it out, but we're willing to take another look at it. And they did over the last month or so. And, you know, as the Haslams put out in their statement, as I have reported and based on what I've been told, there's just too many logistical things associated with that. Number one being the cost. You know, yeah, the dome has to be completely different and redesigned. So the price tag for that alone is significantly more. And then on top of that, not being able to build it for another 10, 12, maybe 15 years. Well, it's $2.4 billion to build now. 10, 15 years down the road could double, triple, quadruple the price tag to do that. And I don't know how that serves, you know, any type of a public dollar investment either. So, you know, the Browns have been trying to nail down the construction costs for this project to get that locked in, so that this thing can come in on budget and open on time in August of 2029.
Daryl, take us all the way back to the Dewey Slopes of 2017. Was staying in Cleveland the most likely outcome when this process began? And if so, what changed?
Well, they did. I mean, they explored sites all around the area. Now, from what I have been told, the finalists of serious consideration for a new stadium or dome site were the around where the post office is, south of the Gateway neighborhood in downtown Cleveland. That was considered. I-480 and I-77, the Rockside Road area there in Independence by Topgolf. There's a lot of wooded land there. It's also where, if you remember years ago, Mark Shapiro contemplated maybe the then Indians could build a ballpark there, and then ultimately the organization decided to, you know, remain at Progressive Field and ultimately extend that lease to stay there. There's a site off Transportation Boulevard in Interstate 480, about 80 plus acres or so. It used to be where basically a trash heap, if you will, a landfill, an old landfill that had been repurposed there. That was also considered. And then, of course, Burke Lakefront Airport, they took a peek at that. And then they also took a peek at the Brook Park site. And just when it was all said and done, Nick, they felt like because of the two interstates that are there, 480 and 71, State Route 237 is going to get some reconfiguration with the Hopkins International Airport rebuild that's going to take place here. And also let's not forget the RTA Red Line Rapid there that takes you to the airport. Easy to connect that to the dome site. It's a perfect location to build a brand new complex from an infrastructure standpoint.
But whether it was a moment of changing administration or a specific moment in time or the pandemic, is there a specific moment that we can point to and go, this is when maybe moving to Brook Park or moving outside of the city became more likely than actually staying downtown?
Well, I think more so it's shifting from staying in the existing building to building something new. And I will point back to October of 2021 when the Browns visited the Vikings in that beautiful brand new dome that they have up in Minneapolis. From what I was told, the Haslams fell in love with that. And that's when the wheels started to get turning. Hey, you know, if we don't renovate, what would our vision for a new building be? And then obviously the firm that did that stadium, designed that stadium, was the firm that they hired to come up with concepts to renovate the existing stadium, as well as the design that had been put out there in August for the Brook Park Dome. So I for me, the turning point was then. Really, things started moving down the tracks when they secured that purchase option for the acreage there in Brook Park back in February. That's when it really felt like this is going to happen. And then again, remember in August, they released those renderings. And once those renderings came out, the writing was on the wall that that's really what the Browns wanted to do.
Our Browns insider, Daryl Ryder, the man who is on top of the entire Browns Stadium saga, joining us right now, brought to you by Shop and Jewels, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, now that we know Brook Park is the official decision, like you said, it seemed like it was kind of trending that direction anyway, but now that it's official, what are the next steps in this process in terms of making that transition to Brook Park and breaking ground and all those types of things?
Well, now they've got to get the public financing component. They are pledging 50% toward the construction of the dome, $1.2 billion. They're looking for a bonded style public component based off taxes that are generated by the complex. That obviously has to go through a legislative process. I talked to some sources in Columbus at the state level because, of course, the Cincinnati Bengals are also looking for some state support as part of a $1.2 billion renovation of their stadium. Now that process really can begin. The Haslams have been going down to Columbus and sending representatives down there to talk to state officials, including Governor Mike DeWine as well. Just to explore where things could fall. But now that can move forward. Now that this is the decision, the Browns really can move forward in the efforts to gather together the public component of the financing there. And then, of course, the Browns have also pledged to build a development that is expected to cost north of $1 billion. That aspect of the project is going to be privately financed. There's no state money there. And then, of course, there's the infrastructure investment of around $40 million. And that, that kind of money comes from the ODOT budget, the federal department, the transportation and things like that. So now they can start putting the financial picture together. My understanding is they have been working on the financial picture for a while, but really now that they have what they're going to do in place and what they want to do in place, they can.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Start getting that officially tied down.
Daryl, great stuff, buddy. And again, one more time, you've been all over this story for 8 years. You've killed it. People do not realize the amount of work, the amount of background. Like, dude, you've killed it. It was so cool to watch you be able to publish that story today. And even if it was Justin Bibb forcing your hand and forcing all of Cleveland's hand because he wanted to have his little moment there before Game 3. But we appreciate you, bud.
Thanks, Daryl.
Daryl Ryder there, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Great stuff with him. When we come back, more on the Browns. I got nothing for you except more Browns talk on the way next on 92.3 The Fan. I've, as a reminder, Thursday Night Football coming up tonight. Saints, Broncos, big game. Not as big as a game going on in TV. And I got to say this, Spencer, I don't know where you're at. I just can't handle...
What, in the Josh Naylor fan club?
No, everything I said about him in front of my children, and I didn't know they were there in game two, I echo again now. I just can't say it on the air. May I gotta say, watching it with somebody in studio at work who's living and dying with every play is a lot. Like, I'm getting now, this is like when like somebody like videos you at your worst, like David Hasselhoff eating a cheeseburger off the floor. That's what I'm seeing watching Mac Robinson watch games. Because he's talking to the TV, and it's just a lot. It's not helping my anxiety.
So I've always wondered about this, because sometimes I do this occasionally, depending on like who I'm watching with or whatever, but I don't usually do it. But I kind of feel like if you're around people...
People?
I was waiting for it, so I paused. I think sometimes people do this as like... I don't know if it's a coping mechanism, or if it's like... They feel like there's a crowd in an audience, so they have to. Do you do that? Are you like that at home, Mac? Like when you're watching games, are you talking to your TV after every pitch like that?
Maybe not every pitch, but yeah.
So what we were seeing in real time is what you're like when you're watching this game at home.
Yes.
Okay. Well, at least you're consistent. That's
so
good.
So I think it's more of the environment. I don't really have a problem with Mac doing it. It's just so much of watching this game at work is I can't be that. I don't want to be that person, because that person is psychopathic. Like that guy, that guy's not like, I don't like no empathy, no like analysis. It's just, oh, Josh Naylor. Hey, another play you didn't make. Go bleep yourself.
He did miss that play.
Yeah, he did. He missed a lot of plays, but he didn't miss a lot of plates.
I was going to say a lot of meals.
But he missed a lot of plays. But so this is not that Mac's doing anything wrong. It's that, like, because I'll be honest with you, there's very few things that actually get me this way. But postseason baseball with my favorite team left in the postseason is. Like, in the playoffs in football, I don't know why, I'm a lot more calm. The pressure, the moment-to-moment pressure, though, in postseason baseball, it's just unrecognizable compared to any other pressure. Like, I'm even thinking, I'd probably get more stressed about in-game, in game three of the ALCS, that or ALDS even, than I did in like game six of the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I think there's something special about baseball where the playoffs, they're unique in that way, to the point of like Mac hanging on every pitch. Like, I've always explained this to people, because people used to get on me like, why do you think baseball is so exciting? I think it's boring. And my argument for it was like, in the playoffs, man, like every pitch, it can change the game. That pitch could be a home run that scores three runs and now you're down, or it could be a strikeout and it gets your guys all jazzed up and you get out of a jam. Like, I understand why you hang on every pitch, because it matters so much more. So I'm like you. Like, I can think back to in my time as a Red Sox fan, like 2018, pacing around the living room. 2013, pacing around the living room. Like, hands on my knees, standing up, surrender Cobra when things aren't going well. It is part of what makes, I think, the baseball playoffs that much more special. It's like the pressure feel. There's always pressure in the playoffs. Like Browns playoff game last year against Houston, there was a lot of pressure. We were all kind of stressed about what was kind of playing out. But then they got down. It was like, okay, baseball is like every pitch feels like a new opportunity. And so you hang on to it a little bit more. It's something that it's what makes this time of year so much. It makes it more stressful, but it also makes it more fun and enjoyable.
This was my nice way of saying sorry, Mac, for being an a-hole and asking you to stop because it was going to kill me. Because it's not your fault. Much like this is a Goodwill Hunting moment. It's not your fault. It's the Guardians' fault. And the Yankees' fault.
And maybe Josh Naylor's fault.
And probably Rob Manfred. And has anybody talked about how it's Josh Naylor's fault? 1 hour to go. Next on 92.3 The Fan.